Hello, everybody. Welcome to For the Girls and happy International Women's Day. For today's episode, it's going to be for Women's History Month, and we are so excited to be sitting down with an incredible woman in the world of F1, Lou McEwen. She's McLaren Racing's newest chief marketing officer, and before that, she served as their executive director of brand and marketing. So we cannot wait to have this conversation with you today.
Yes. Welcome, Lou, and happy International Women's Day. Super exciting. So you've been working with McLaren for about a decade, starting with consulting work and officially as brand director starting in 2017. But now you are the chief marketing officer. So the biggest congratulations, first of all, and would love to just kind of hear in your own words what that role entails and what you're excited about for this year.
Thank you. Well, thanks. Thank you both for having me. Pleasure to be here. Happy International Women's Day back. So very timely day to having this conversation. So I'm a few days in now with my new big title, which feels really grown up. Really excited to be custodian of McLaren brand at this point in time. It's a really exciting time to be with the team. As you say, I've been with the team now for a number of years, and it's been an incredible journey. During that time, my role's kind of grown, the team's grown quite a lot, our ambitions have grown. But today I really look after all things that sit within that marketing role. So I look after our brand strategy, our brand narrative, how that translates and comes to life across our Formula One car, down to the color of the car, the application of the logo and our partner's identity through that. I have an amazing creative team that do that. And then, of course, the world of digital as well that comes with that, and experiential, and so how we come to life at track as well.
Well, I love what you mentioned about the color of the car, because I think the McLaren brand is so strong, and I think that's very synonymous with the papaya color. And that's been something that the team has really been bringing back over the past few years. So tell us about that and why papaya is so important to the McLaren brand.
So this is honestly something I could speak forever on. It was one of my first projects I worked on. I'm really passionate about it. I can't tell you what it means to me when I show up at track now. And I obviously wear team kit I wear full papaya like the rest of the team, and very proud to do so. But what makes me so excited is we've got to a place now where you'll show up and guests will come and fans will come in, and they've got their own version. They come dressed in papaya as well. They might not be wearing the team shirt, but they've gone out, particularly some of the ladies, and they've gone out and they've found a dress or a top, and they come in, or they've got a handbag. And I always, always take the point to go and say, I love it. I love the fact that you thought about it and you made that connection to our brand, right? So that's the power of papaya that we've got now. And it's fantastic that we've got something that fans want to buy in on and want to be a part of. That's the power of papaya and kind of what we're building as we go forward. But as you say, we've only been papaya really for 7 years. So we're still quite young in that brand journey. Big global brands take years to build equity in their color, but it's something that I'm very focused on, as my team will say. If anyone ever calls it orange, they get a bit of a slap with it's papaya. So thank you for calling it. You've done your research, and you know that we're team papaya.
No, absolutely. I think it's the most iconic color on the grid for sure. And it's so nice also now seeing Bianca's car in the F1 Academy lineup. I absolutely love her livery. One thing I wanted to ask you about the kind of social media livery launch. I'm sure you had lots to do with that. And it's kind of new, I guess, in the F1 world. McLaren was the first to launch their car like that. What was the thought process behind doing that? And yeah, what was the fan reaction like? We loved it, obviously.
I'm nodding back to when we met in Austin, was actually the day that we announced our partnership with Formula One Academy, and we announced that. And I went back to that point, and actually that was the highest performing driver announcement that we've ever had as a team. In fact, it still gives me goosebumps because, you know, we've announced some pretty epic drivers over the last couple of years, but it just showed the appetite for that. And seeing Bianca's car on track today, the first time it's actually run, is really exciting, and it does look really bold. So great that you've seen that. But our car launch this year, again, bold new look, or iteration, let's say, for the MCR 38. And we kind of went with a strategy really of go digital and go first. We've tried a number of different varieties of that over the last couple of years. And I think what we saw was really strong car launch. We kind of caught people a little off guard, I think coming out of Christmas holidays, people are craving Formula One content because it's been quite a gap since the end of the season. And I think we had great timing. And when it landed, I think we were quite disruptive. Yes. And actually of the majority of the liveries that we've launched, you know, liveries are really emotive things for people and fans. That's why we're mm-hmm. so passionate about them, because they resonate with fans. And actually, there'll always be people that perhaps don't like it as much. But overall, I think the sentiment around this livery has been incredible. And they loved the way it launched. And our creative team did a fantastic job of bringing it to life. So very proud of it.
Yeah, we absolutely loved it.
Launch digital, launch fast is so cool. And I think it really stood out to us too, because when everyone is launching their liveries, obviously it's a very exciting time. We're getting ready for the season, but things can get lost in that whole sea of new information. So having McLaren like front and center before all of that flurry was really key. I think it was really exciting for us too.
Good. Glad you liked it.
Loved it. And all of our listeners did too, though, that day. I'll never forget. So much action in our Discord and in our DMs. So it was a huge splash.
It was quite addictive watching the commentary on social. Yeah. In our kind of social media hub that we set up at the MTC, and people going, what's happened? Is their social media broken, etc.? And then I think we actually thought that people would twig kind of quicker, but then as someone got it, and then one person gets it, and then you can literally see the comments span out. So it was fun to watch.
So great.
We all need a little extra health boost sometimes, and Fleur Marché makes it easy for us to supercharge our wellness. Their botanical wellness patches have been such a fun addition to our routine. We just stick them on wherever we want. They have them for sleep, relaxation, focus, and other things. And the patch delivers ingredients to your body in a subtle but effective way, and the results last up to 12 hours. Fleur Marché also has botanical gummies and their new organic nutritional powder Green Machine. They only use the best ingredients and are tested for potency, contaminants, and heavy metals before and after production.
And one of our favorite things, we also love that the company is founded and inspired by women, with the mission of helping us feel 100% every single day so that we can have full energy and crush it every day. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with promo code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. Orders over $50 also get free shipping. Go to fleurmarché, FLEURMARCHE.com. Use code FORTHEGIRLS for 20% off your first order. So you've been in motorsport now for many years, and F1 has seen such growth over the past 5+ years, including a new type of fan, new type of fan base. How do you feel like your role has evolved over the years with the rise in popularity and a bit of a shifting fan base?
Gosh, well, when I joined McLaren, just to give some context, even beyond Formula One, I joined and we had one car. That was the Formula One car. Last count, we have 6 different series, including esports and Formula One Academy. So the depth and breadth of my role and McLaren's role in racing has grown. You know, we sometimes refer to it as our racing solar system. And it has really, really grown. And obviously that's been fun to do, also growing equity in Papaya, because we've got this fantastic, what I sometimes refer to as like band members, because all of our cars are slightly different, but they complement each other. And I think when they show up, whichever corner or track they're racing on in different parts of the world, people instantly know that they're McLaren. So that's been an incredible journey to be on. Of course, it wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't talk about the Drive to Survive factor. and we absolutely acknowledge that that's been you know, huge for our growth, particularly in the US market. But actually, if I also think back with the ambitions that our CEO Zak Brown brought to our business, right, we had our intent set on the US market before Drive to Survive, even actually. Mm. And I think some of the things that we were doing back in the day, back in 2018, we were already looking at behind the scenes content and putting together some of those content pieces, which we knew appealed for fans. And obviously then bingo, Drive to Survive land. So it's been brilliant for us and the sport. So
yeah,
you can definitely tell that McLaren knows what they're doing when it comes to connecting with this new fan base. And obviously there was a lot of work that was being, you know, laying the groundwork before Drive to Survive. And I always say, you know, McLaren is a British team. You guys are based in the UK, but I feel like there is a really good sentiment of being an American team in the sense of connecting with the fans. We always see that.
Sort of like the adoptive American team. Yeah.
So you mentioned working across a lot of different race series, especially now as your role has broadened. Is there anything unique about branding and marketing for an F1 team that is very specific to F1 in and of itself?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, in any high performance sports team, right, you work at incredible pace, but I mean, Formula One's pace is, I think we often say, certainly us as a team, we're as competitive off track as we are on it. And so car developments and iterations are happening. You know, we always talk about the fact that our car upgrades are happening all the time, 24/7, 365 pretty much days a year. We're iterating, pushing to get to the front of the grid. And because of that, everything else that we're doing behind the scenes in marketing commercial kind of has to keep up. And if you think about that from a branding point of view in the livery, we're always having to iterate. You can't ever sit back and think, right, that's it, job done, 24 livery done, because what we need to do is help our car go faster. And the bit that, again, I've always been very passionate about is that my team and the creative team work very closely with our aerodynamicists, because we've got to make a car that looks good, but also performs on track. So that's down to weights, sticker applications, how air flows over different surfaces. And, you know, I haven't come from an aerodynamic background, or I didn't study physics or any of those things, but I absolutely am passionate about it. And it's fascinating when we work with the team to make sure that the livery is complementary to performance.
Mm. And from a technical standpoint, like, we know that cars are many, like the car from this year is many, many years in the making. From your side, at what point do you jump in with, you know, the technical team? How long does it take to develop delivery from a branding perspective?
I mean, it's almost a year-round process now we're working on. So no sooner have we got 24 out, we turn our attention to 25. And it's a very iterative process. So, you know, what we've got now in terms of a model that's supplied to us really changes on a weekly basis as we progress throughout the year. So we've got really strong collaboration from race team through to our creative team, as I said. Wow. Obviously, we're also trading incredibly sensitive IP, so we have to be really careful how we treat that. And we have to be very agile and flexible. So, you know, at the same time, you will have a creative intent, but we have to be very open-minded, because suddenly the side pod will change, or there'll be additional maneuvers that we have, or we have a new cooling system, or we'll have a specific weight challenge that the team come to talk to us about. And the good thing is that they have respect for what we do, because you know, our commercial partners are our lifeblood as well as a team. So they're respectful because they understand what we've got to deliver from a commercial point of view. But equally, we want that performance advantage wherever we can get it.
No, totally. And when we think about brands in F1, you know, we do think about the logos on the livery or on the team kit, but there are also all these other partners in the F1 ecosystem and partnerships as well. And fashion has become such a big part of that. Yeah. And I know McLaren has done a lot of brand activations. We've loved following the Reese and the Abercrombie collabs. Tell us more about that strategy and how you choose the brands you work with, whether it's fashion or otherwise.
So I think the two that you highlight are fantastic examples of like brand extension for McLaren into worlds that we wouldn't have traditionally shown up in. And that's very much part of our strategy as we go forward. We know that, you know, there are incredible younger audiences out there. We sometimes refer to them as our trend fans, and they like to look good. They like fashion. They like all sorts of different areas of popular culture. So I think when you partner with a brand like Abercrombie or Reese, as you suggested, right, it just it takes you into new worlds where people, they may or may not like Formula One, but you're showing up, and that gives you such an advantage and an opportunity for growth. I think with those brands, they've been fantastic to work with. I think there'll be hopefully longer term relationships. I think on both of them, the collections that have just dropped have both outperformed any expectation and done really well, which is always fantastic. And in part, that's also because of how we've worked with their teams and helped market them and position them. So it's very much a partnership with opportunities for growth in the future. And hopefully, I think there's also shared values there. That's really important, that this isn't just a kind of, we want to make sure when we're working with partners that they feel really they're part of our family, and they should have shared values as well and ambitions, which both of those do.
Yeah, that Reese collection, my jaw was on the floor when that dropped. I think it's one of the most beautiful collections I've ever seen.
We're proud of that one.
Yeah.
And the Abercrombie one, like talking about how well it was received, we had a watch party last week that people came to, and there was an entire table of like six people in a friend group who all came only wearing the Abercrombie drop from McLaren. Like, looked unbelievable. It was very cool.
And you guys got to Fifth Avenue, didn't you? Did you?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Which was such a fun event. So cool. I think that was
I almost wore
way.
My shirt today.
Yeah. It was awesome. Read the next time will be full, full papaya gear. Okay.
Yeah.
So you mentioned growth, and I think these new kinds of partnerships are definitely always going to be a big part of growth. But are there any things that you're looking forward to for 2024 and beyond for the team?
I think the opportunity around Formula One Academy, like, this is our first year, so there's going to be massive learnings. It's really interesting. We've just announced today, actually, Google are now supporting our Formula One Academy program alongside Optimum Nutrition and Cisco. So I think, you know, we're still in early days of that program, but we've got some fantastic brand partnerships already there. And if I look more broadly across Formula One Academy, I mean, who'd have thought that you'd have a brand like Charlotte Tilbury coming into the world of motorsports?
Amazing.
How different that feels. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see the growth around Abercrombie, Reese. Also for us, you know, we've got a really strong partnership with Lego, and we've got some fantastic collaboration, and that's again gone from strength to strength. So those are all kind of still quite new areas for us to learn and grow from. So, and we will learn over the next year when product drops, and we can adapt and hopefully build on the success there.
Totally. And it's been amazing to see how integrated Bianca has been in the McLaren family and organization. I think every team handles that a little bit differently, but it's been so incredible from like day one of the announcement in Austin all the way through the off season, winter, start of the season. It's been really incredible to see how Bianca has been so integrated and how it's really one big family. So
you use the word there, and we genuinely use that when we have a new partner or a driver or team member. It's like, welcome. We'll say welcome to the family. And it's that real sense of belonging, which is part of our kind of brand DNA, I suppose, that we feel is really important to us.
Totally. So in the spirit of International Women's Day, and I know McLaren has this theme of inspiring inclusion for this month, would love just any advice to anyone listening who may be wanting to break into motorsport or pursue a career in marketing, what advice you may have.
Gosh, what would I have told my younger self? Weirdly, I didn't never set out to get a career in motorsports. I kind of, but I found my way in it. And I think the reason why I stayed and what's kept me tuned in is just the opportunity and the global platform, I think, that Formula One and motorsport brings, because it's an incredible kind of testbed to show up and showcase your brand in. And it's why it attracts the amazing brand partners that we've got. I think, you know, don't give up. you've got to keep going. It's competitive, whether you're male or female or whatever you are, right? It's a high performance sport, as I said earlier, both on track and off track. So naturally it's going to attract a lot of people, but I think you've got to really persevere, keep going. And also I think, you know, be yourself. I was talking about this yesterday. We had a panel with McLaren and our Driven Women team. So it was an internal event, which I sat on with our other executive director, who's our CFO. And one of the questions raised is, what advice were you given? And it sounds really basic, but if I look back to my younger self, I'd say, be yourself, like be authentic, and don't try and be something that you're not. I think the good news is the world today, it's quite different from when I first broke into my career. Thankfully, that was a long time ago. and 20 years on, what's fantastic is I think around the paddock or the racing world now, there are so many more role models that people can look to and get advice for from mentorships. So I think making sure, seek out those role models. Seek out mentors as well. Get people around you to support you, because back in the day, I didn't have a lot of that. I actually had fantastic male mentors, and I still have male mentors. There's no reason why you should have one or the other, I think, at different times in your career. But seek people out if you're determined. You know, make sure you've got really good relationships with people. Get involved. And as I said, you know, lean into those things, because it will really help you. And I know as my career's progressed, role modeling has been so important. Because you can see, oh yeah, they've done that. And how did they get there? So ask questions.
We love that. So good.
So well said. Okay. So to wrap up, we'll do a little bit of a quick rapid fire, nothing too difficult. Jessa, you want to take the first one?
Yeah, this is our signature series that we always do with interviews, but it's always very easy. So favorite brand partnership you've ever done?
I have to say Vodafone, because that's where I started out in my career. Yeah. I cut my teeth in Formula One, and it was a time when we were really building the brand, Vodafone.
That's great. One word to describe the McLaren brand.
Awesome.
That's great.
There you go. We were talking about really cool, unique partnerships. So what is your dream brand partnership?
I was asked this question the other day. We have awesome brand partners on our car, but I reckon there's room for a luxury brand, maybe like Hermes, because they're papaya.
Yes, yeah. That would be so good. That would be iconic.
The ultimate. Great collab.
All right, we're going to put that out there in the universe, and hopefully that comes down the pipe soon. And last one, favorite F1 race, if you have one.
Austin.
Oh, we love that.
One of and that's where well. We all met in person.
It is. Yes. It's great. There's such a great vibe. It's such a great city. So Austin's up there now.
Love that. All right, Lou, well, thank you so, so much. Happy International Women's Day. We couldn't have imagined a better person to talk with on this day. Thank you so much for sharing all the magic behind the McLaren brand and what you all are doing. We're so excited for the season and beyond.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and happy International Women's Day back to you all.
Thank you.